from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
It's not back to Will and Dibby. It's the Willie and Dibby show, but FP is in for Dibs. It's Dibs' birthday. Like I said, please send him 18 DMs. Get creepy on that dude. But just wish him a happy birthday, and then he won't mind. It'll be all good.
Send him pics.
Exactly. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe
to what kind of pics?
Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And while you're there, make sure to, you know, check out the other shows, subscribe to them, Bonte and Shasky and Steiny and Goo. They had some great stuff earlier today, kind of a potpourri Thursday for sure. But the 49ers, never far from our mind. And let's get out there and find out not only what was happening in practice today, but we'll do a deeper dive as well with David Lombardi of The Athletic, who recently wrote about Brock Purdy and how he kind of changed the landscape out in... Did you go to Ames, Iowa and start digging around? Is that what I read, David?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting in Matt Campbell's office. He told me you are sitting in the very same chair that Brock Purdy was sitting on, and I told him that he was going to start getting snaps at the quarterback position in a game. And then I was in a bunch of cool places. I got to see the training room where he worked on his reflexes, because we know he's got those super quick reflexes, so I got to see that. They gave me the full tour, the practice facility, everything, the locker room. It was really neat. And then I went on a scavenger hunt of my own, and I went to this place called Wallaby's Bar and Grill, and they had a Brock Purdy signed 49ers jersey next to a Joe Montana 49ers jersey. So I thought that was the perfect ending to my trip.
And David, I haven't had a time to read it. It's right here. I just clicked on it. Like, just kind of go over it real quick. Make me want to read this article about Brock Purdy. It looks sensational.
Well, we all know the story with the 49ers, how he was pick number 262. So he was unheralded coming from the previous level. And then his very first year, he dazzled on the scout team. And then he was the third string quarterback, and he turned into the starter, and he didn't relinquish the starter's job after he got the opportunity due to an injury in front of him, or two injuries in front of him, in the case of the 49ers. That same exact sequence of events happened at Iowa State.
No way.
So if you would have, he shows up at Iowa State, turns down Alabama and Texas A&M, first of all, because he'd rather go to the school where it just a more homey vibe. He didn't want to be part of a football factory. He's a humble guy. He didn't want to deal with the big SEC schools. So he shows up at Iowa State. He's a third string true freshman. There's a play in practice where I include the tape. The offensive coordinator at Iowa State let me use the all 22 tape. He's walking me through it. He digs it up on his computer where Purdy, nobody knows who he is at that point because he's a true freshman, jukes out the defensive end with this nifty pump fake completely off script and scores a touchdown. And the whole field is like, whoa, what's going on? We got to play this guy. This guy just has it, right? then about, I think it was 4 or 5 games into the season, the starter, who was a good player, his name was Kyle Kemp. He had led several big wins, including a win over Oklahoma the year prior. I think Baker Mayfield was the quarterback of Oklahoma when he beat him. He goes down with an injury. So that's the Jimmy Garoppolo in this situation. And Brock Purdy takes over and does not relinquish the starting job for 4 years. And between 2010 and 2018, Iowa State had never had a quarterback finish the full season. Like, they didn't have a quarterback play all the games in the season. And as soon as Purdy took over, he played in every single start, possible start for him in 4 years. So, I mean, if that doesn't sound familiar, I don't know what will sound familiar. It's like history repeated itself with the 49ers after Brock Purdy did it all at Iowa State.
It's just incredible. It's incredible. We actually, David, we've been sitting here on a number of fronts the last 2 days talking about players who take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them, and Brock Purdy has got to be Exhibit A, it sounds like, twice doing that in his life. So really suggest people go check it out. It's a very, very cool article. Great job. David Lombardi, The Athletic, with us. Okay, the obligatory question. So 2 days in a row, Brandon Ayuk has watched closely from the sideline. What does that mean?
Well, he hadn't been out on the sideline for a full 2 weeks. So we saw him on the sideline July 31st. That was the infamous handshake and hug day. And then he wasn't on the sideline. Now, he did peek his head out of the weight room to watch practice on one of those days. But it was, I don't know what the 49ers told him after the hug and the handshake day, but there obviously wasn't the same presence that we all of a sudden saw again 2 weeks later. Now, obviously, in the 2 weeks between the two sideline appearances, that's when all the trade stuff, all the trade rumors were going down. My read on it is that negotiations were not going well, and the two sides were far apart, and there was emotion and there was frustration from both sides based on how little progress there was being made, which obviously spurred the whole trade stuff, which may or may not have just been a way for the 49ers to break the impasse. They needed to get some movement done. So Brandon Ayuk requested a trade before training camp, and the 49ers were like, okay, we'll call the bluff and let's see if this gets movement going. I can't say that for sure, but it appears that might be the case at this time. And then once we got the reports that things were going better, that the two parties had reapproached each other, all of a sudden Brandon Ayuk was back on the practice field at the very next opportunity. So if you're just reading this simply, based on the clues that we have, it seems that as there's been good progress being made based on some of these reports, Brandon Ayuk has been back on the field. So I think that might be what to read into this, if anything at all.
What's your best guess on this thing getting done? When is it going to get done, and is there too late? Is there such a thing as too late?
Yes, of course, because the 49ers learned that last year when Nick Bosa didn't sign until a couple days before the regular season, and that obviously hurt them. It hurt Nick Bosa, and it hurt them. I think the 49ers really want to avoid that this year. I think that they, I'm just speculating here, but I think they probably set a mid-August date as a time that they would definitely want this done by, because this is right now as we speak is when the joint practices with the Saints were supposed to be happening. Those obviously got canceled. So I think it's no coincidence that the team started applying this deadline pressure, trying to break the impasse a couple weeks before the middle of August, right? It was right at the start of August when all of this stuff started to happen. So I think they're really hoping to get this done as soon as possible. But obviously that requires Brandon Ayuk signing on the dotted line. And from the 49ers perspective, big picture is important here. To remember context of where this negotiation is coming in, it's coming the year after Nick Bosa, I would say, won a negotiation against the 49ers. I think they ultimately had to blink because they needed him on the field, and they ended up cutting a little bit further into their budget than they would have wanted to. And it's coming the year before Brock Purdy is going to have every bit of leverage if he continues playing well because he's a quarterback. So it's tough luck for Brandon Ayuk, but he falls in between these two contracts, The 49ers already have all these highly paid players. So they have a really, really finite budget here that they feel they can't go over, because they feel if they go over it after already cutting into the excess money last year, they're going to have to start cutting people just to pay Brock Purdy next season. And for them, it's really important that they stay salary cap sustainable. Now, there's a lot of fans, and I'm sure there are media members that are saying, well, it doesn't matter. You know, they just need to kick the door down this year and win the Super Bowl and deal with the consequences later. A team like the 49ers in the 90s, at the end of Steve Young's career, decided to do that. And it may not be a bad strategy if you can win a Super Bowl, but that's just not the headspace that Shanahan and Lynch are in. They want to make sure that this stays sustainable. They see themselves at the beginning of a window because Brock Purdy is about to sign a long-term deal. They don't see themselves as being at the end of the window. So I think that's why they're holding firm in this price for Brandon Ayuk, because they don't want it to this contract to damage the rest of the roster down the line.
David Lombardi, The Athletic. David, I'm very interested by you drawing a line between Nick Bosa's negotiation and Brandon Ayuk's. I had made the comment earlier that I do think something is going on right now that is the Niners sort of battling against the fact that they quote-unquote lost that deal last year. So when you draw that line where they are with Brandon, how much of that is mathematical and how much of it is emotional? In other words, are they bringing that loss from last year to this year's negotiations in an emotional way?
Well, first of all, nobody knows how big the salary cap is going to be next year and the year after that. A lot of this is a guessing game. And you have your models and you have your projections, but it's all tied to league revenue. And there also is a chance that it goes down if the economy doesn't do well, and league revenue obviously suffers in conjunction with that. So you're always projecting into the future. You're always determining based on, you know, just kind of a guessing game. You're in the dark, what's going to be safe and what's not, how you distribute this money. And you just never want to let that sink overflow, because if the sink overflows, then you run into problems. So I think part of it's definitely a financial hard money thing, except that you're just feeling around in the dark, and you just have to make sure that, I guess you can't make sure, but you have to try to be as safe as possible to be able to keep all these large contracts under. I do sense that in this situation, the emotions have gotten involved. And that's where I would point out that John Lynch probably doesn't get enough credit, because you got people working on contracts. You have Kyle Shanahan, who obviously has to tend to the football team as the head coach. So he's dealing with these guys on a closer basis. And then you have Lynch, who throughout his time with the 49ers, and this is going to be season 8 for him now, I think has done a really, really good job being the CEO of the football team. And I don't think that he's dirtied himself too much with any individual issue, unless he absolutely has to step in. And I think that that's allowed him to be a stabilizing force in the building in case things do get too emotional. And, you know, we were reading tea leaves right this last week. There are no real verified reports of any actual movement. There are a lot of rumors, and there are reports of what the 49ers were considering doing, what might have been on the table. But if you did read those tea leaves, it did seem that there was a danger that Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers would do something based on emotion that didn't end up being the optimal solution for both sides. I think that the optimal solution for both sides, just when I look at this from a business perspective, is that if Brandon Ayuk stays with the best roster in football, probably makes a little bit less money on his actual salary, but earns much more monetary value through being with a big market team that's really good, that has a chance to go to a Super Bowl. And he could also probably set himself up better for a third contract with a very accurate quarterback, and he's not getting beaten up as much because there's other targets on the team. That's what I think is probably the optimal outcome for both. But if emotions cloud the judgment on either side of this, with Shanahan and with, you know, the people doing the 49ers contracts and on the side of Brandon Ayuk, if emotions cloud either side, that can prevent the optimal outcome from happening. And I think that's where John Lynch's role comes in, because I think he's experienced, and I think that he's done a good job setting himself up in that CEO type of role to where he's a little bit above the fray, so he's able to stabilize the ship in case things get a little too unsteady.
Well, let's hope they get that thing done and we can talk about football. And speaking of football, the Niners had maybe their longest practice all camp today. And maybe you could tell us about it. How did Brock Purdy do today?
Today was his most accurate practice as a 49er. He was 21 of 25, and three of those incompletions were intentional throwaways when the line collapsed in front of him. So he got out of dodge and just chucked the ball out of bounds to make sure that he could live to fight another day. The one incompletion was the Chris Conley in the red zone. Wasn't really open, so Purdy just kind of put the ball out there in the back of the end zone so the defense couldn't get it. It was going to be a tough completion anyway, so that was his day. 21-25, hit Kittle deep, was just pinpoint accurate on some of the shorter passes. Deebo Samuel's playing so well right now. A few of the completions were to him. He's just so strong. His hands are so strong. And Purdy was able to hit him on a few crossers, even though Diamond Lenore was in tight coverage. So even without, two of the biggest weapons out there, Trent Williams is a weapon at left tackle, and Brandon Ayuk's obviously a weapon at receiver. We've seen a lot of stretches of brilliance this training camp from Brock Purdy, which is what you would expect out of an MVP finalist. So now they just got to get those guys back, and I think they could really fire at full cylinders.
Are you at Oracle Park with the Seagulls right now?
Well, I was going to say, David Lombardi is joining us on the River Islands guest line, and he might actually be at River Islands. Yeah, are you in the Tiki Room at Disneyland? What's going on back there?
I'm at the Dolphin Club. I just got out of the bay. I was swimming in the bay, so I just got out because I knew you guys were going to call me at 5, and there's some seagulls here, so I guess you could pick them up through the AirPod.
How often do you do that? Like I see that you jump in the water a lot, don't you?
I took about a month plus off just to kind of reset my body. We did a big swim from Point Bonita, which is the lighthouse on the other side of Golden Gate Bridge out in the open Pacific Ocean, swam through the Golden Gate back into the city. That was kind of the big thing that I was preparing for in the spring. And then I was like, okay, I need to get out a bit. That was one of those where you're kind of in the red triangle with all the sharks.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you got bit.
And let me tell you something about this swim. This is what I tell everybody. I got seasick on this swim. They call that water west of the Golden Gate Bridge the potato patch or the washing machine. And the day was much rougher than the forecast called for. And I literally got seasick as I was swimming. And it was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. Ugh. I kid you not, I was hoping that a shark would come and bite me in half to let me out of my misery as that was happening. It was really, really tough. And you know, there's nothing worse than feeling nauseated, especially when you're swimming under the Golden Gate Bridge, it was still in the distance. So it was even tougher. It's like 5:30 AM and I just wanted to be let out of my misery. The shark did not come let me out of my misery. But anyway, the swim is finished. It's behind me. And now we're getting ready for the next one. So hopefully we get clear conditions. So I'm back in the water every day. I'm building up the endurance again.
I'd be more scared of a jumper than a shark.
Oh, my God. This whole thing is like my nightmare right now. I can't even put my mind. Can we talk about something more?
I'm getting anxious.
I know. Like something more pleasant. Like what shoes did you wear to practice today after George Kittle challenged all of you?
I was on my way actually this week at some point to buy new shoes anyway. I like to wear these white sneakers, and you know, after a few months, you got to get new white sneakers. That's the problem with these white shoes. So I went into Nordstrom after practice yesterday and said, okay, well, I have to do it today since George Kittle.
Nice.
Buy my new shoes. It's still camp right now, so I'm wearing shorts and shoes. But once it's not camp and we hit fall, I'm a pretty big shoe guy or boot guy. Like I like to wear the cowboy boots and jeans and stuff. But right now I'm still wearing the white shoes.
Hey, but before you swim out of here, I feel like we should ask you about Trent Williams. Like, any concerns on what's going on with him?
I don't think so. I think that I always thought that it would be around mid-August with Trent Williams. He's 36. He doesn't need these 3 or 4 weeks of dog days of camp. I do think that he needs a little bit of time. Kind of like I said the same thing about Bosa last year. I don't think that Bosa needs all of training camp, but he got to build the callus a little bit, and he didn't last year. Like Bosa came in a little bit too late, and that was a problem. This Trent thing isn't nearly as big of an adjustment as Nick Bosa, who is the largest non-quarterback contract ever. I think a lot of it could be taken care of by guaranteeing parts of the deal. Now, of course, you worry about the fact that he is 36, and if he retires and you guarantee a bunch of the contract, that could leave you with some dead cap that, if you're being really careful, Brandon Ayuk can undo all the work that that you're doing with Brandon Ayuk right now, because it's all coming out of the same pot. So I think it's delicate, but I think he's so important that and if they could get this Brandon Ayuk thing right, then it could fit right in with that. So I wouldn't be all too worried about it until if the calendar turns to September and it's still not done, that's when you got to be like, oh God, not again, because it did affect them with Nick Bosa last season.
David, great to have you, man. Thank you for all of that. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. David Lombardi, the fish for The Athletic, joining us right here on 95.7.
I hate being in the water.
Dude.
He's talking about currents. I know where he's talking about. Yep. I've jogged by there. It's just like different currents going every which way and waves. Apparently there's tons of sharks because the Farallons are right around the corner.
Go Sharks.
So my question to you is, what would be worse, a great white taking out your torso?
Oh, God. What the hell could be worse than that? You'd be dead.
A jumper landing on your back while you're swimming.
Oh.
Because you're swimming under the Golden Gate. Odds of those happening are very slim, either one. But
jumper's worse, because then two people die. Like, what an awful... What a terrible question.
Just stay on the beach. You got a zero chance of either one of those things happening.
Yeah, the whole thing's a nightmare, dude. I
was getting anxious.
I'm so bad when it gets to, like, you know, water like that. I got lovely Christy tried to do a surfing lesson for me in Hawaii last year. I got seasick doing that. Like, when you go out there, like, deep out in the water, it just doesn't fit with me very well.
I don't play that game.
Everybody wanted, the whole family, practically, everybody wanted to swim to the buoy at Tahoe over the weekend.
Nope.
And they all did. And a lot of them are really good swimmers. She's a good swimmer. My son's a good swimmer. Her daughter, they all swam out to the buoy. She's like, you want to go? I'm like, I'm not even thinking about this. This isn't tempting. That's a no from me. Period. Like, I'm not... We're not swimming to the buoy. Why?
I stay on the boat. It's a perfectly good boat.
And that's a lake. Like, there's nothing bad that's going to happen. But I'm just like, why?
I wave the flag if you go down skiing. I got that. I am not going swimming in the ocean.
I'll tell you what.
That's nuts.
Here's when I'll swim.
Not seasick.
No.
The creatures. The currents.
If you want to ask me, I've said this before on this show. What scares you in life?
Sharks.
The ocean.
Sharks.
The ocean is, like, to me, is the most intimidating thing in the world.
Last time I went surfing, which was the last time I've ever surfed, I almost drowned.
Like, for real?
For real.
Yeah.
With burns. Like, 10 years, 12.
Somebody have
12,
to save you?
13 years ago.
Somebody have to pull you out of
my
there?
My grandma up in heaven saved me. I said a prayer after I got doubled, tripled up, and I couldn't breathe, and my limbs were burning, my lungs were burning, my legs. I flopped on the surfboard like it was a piece of the Titanic sideways, not the way you're supposed to get on it, and another wave hit me, and I went under for, like, the third time, and I'm coming up, and the intervals were so close.
Right.
As soon as I came up, I was just getting
hit again.
One on my head, and they were, like, 6 or 7 foot waves.
So how'd you get out of it?
I just said a prayer and flopped myself on the board, just laid on it, pointing toward the shore, and I caught a wave perfect. And it just, like, laying on the board, and it was like a 5-foot shore break that slammed me into the sand.
The ground.
And Burns is like, I was caught inside, and Burns was outside.
Burns is probably like, dude, awesome.
The first thing he said is, you almost died. I'm like, yeah, where were you? I couldn't come get you because, like, the waves watching. Were so close. Yeah. I would have been doing the same thing. He goes, you got to go out there right now. You got to go back out. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going back out.
No.
I had sand in my nose, sand in my ears. I could barely breathe. My arms were burning. My legs were burning. I know how people drown.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know everything burnt like that. Like, your lungs and your arms.
Well, if you swallow that
legs.
Much water, sure.
When I was underneath and doing the wash machine thing and come up and then the wash machine thing and the board's going,
No.
That's the last time I've ever been in the ocean.
It's terrifying.
I won't go back.
Yeah.
Maybe like a little snorkeling expedition. Somebody asked me what I did for a living the other night. So I'm a pro snorkeler. And so maybe I'll have to do that.
Now you have to. Yeah. You don't want to be a liar.
I'm on the West Coast tour right now.
888-957-957 is the number. We'll get back to some calls in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, I think going back to where I know everybody's head kind of is, it sounds to me like David takes something from the way Brandon is behaving at camp the last 2 days. That timing does seem a little curious. As soon as the reports came out that they have reignited talks, Brandon suddenly started going to practice every day and watching closely and talking to teammates. So I don't know, man. I don't want to like do this for effect. So I'm not going to do it for effect. I'm not going to promise that I'm going to do something embarrassing if I'm wrong. But like, I just could not feel stronger about this. Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams will play for the 49ers week one. I could not feel stronger about that.
Sounds like they got contentious. They argued a little bit. You know, pride kicked in and ego kicked in. We're going to trade you if you want to be here. You don't want to be here, we don't want you here. And then they came back, circled back, and said, look, we want you here. And he's like, well, I want to be here. Apologize. Let's get the deal done. Now they got to do it.
Here's what I think matters more. It is my perception, and I think David started to dance in this space a little bit. And then he started talking about John Lynch. And with all respect, all due respect to David Lombardi, I do not think for one second that any of this stuff, when it happens in August, is about John Lynch. I know that he's the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. I do not think that this bus is being driven by John Lynch. I think it is above John Lynch. And my concern, forget Brandon, this isn't about Brandon anymore. This is a larger concern, which is that the 49ers got their butts kicked last year by Nick Bosa, and they're carrying that with them going forward.
Well, what I took out of that is when he mentioned Brock Purdy next year.
Yep.
So you got those bookends, those big bookends with big contracts, and now you're a really, really, really good receiver trending in the right direction to be great, possibly. And that's kind of, he's just caught in that.
And I think there's some truth to that.
In that current under the Golden Gate Bridge.
My point is to the 49ers, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like when you strike out, then you come to the plate the next time, and you got a little bit of red butt in you, you know, like you like the Niners are carrying that loss with them, and now instead of just calmly approaching this with math and a plan and specifics and being ready, you're carrying with you competitiveness. I don't want Parag, Jed York, I don't want them to be competitive. And too bad, Mark, they are. But do you know what I mean by that? I don't want them negotiating, trying to win. I want them trying to win football games, not negotiations. And maybe there's some overlap there. I think they'd argue that there is. Them winning the deal helps them be a better football team. If that's your motivation, great. If your motivation is, I don't lose deals, so I'm not losing it. If that's what's going on, I don't like that. I do not like that.
I don't know what's going on, but it's fun to speculate. I would imagine they're doing what's good for the whole organization, not just one player. And they're doing what's best for the future of the organization, not just one player. And
I don't know. I hear you. I hear you. But at the same token, like, this is not the way that you want to be doing it. I don't care what anybody says. You know, like, this is not business as usual. Nick Bosa was business as usual. Trent Williams is business as usual. Brandon Ayuk is not. I know that this is not, to me, just the business side of things. This has gotten contentious, public, both sides, all over the media, trade demands, trade rumors in August. In August. That's not the plan. People compare this to DeForest Buckner. DeForest Buckner was traded before the draft. I don't think 49er fans would even have their arms up anymore if the Niners had traded Brandon Ayuk before the draft. If you trade him on August 15th, I don't care where you trade him, and I don't care what you got back. That's a stupid thing to do. It's a terrible idea. You don't do that when there's a game in 3 weeks. So
it's going to get done.
I agree with you.
I want to talk about football. That's why when I was doing the show in the other place, I didn't care about the preseason. I want games to count. And even when I do spring training games for baseball, I don't care about them. I don't care about number 74. Like, I want games that count. Winning and losing is what I'm addicted to, besides my phone. But like, it is. So when games don't matter and you see coaches on the sidelines laughing and yucking it up, and I want intense games, wins and losses. I don't even get into, like, even Brock Purdy was 21 for 25 today at camp. Oh, great. Great. It's camp. Doesn't matter. Preseason doesn't matter. Spring training doesn't matter.
I don't care.
It matters to get your body ready to compete.
Totally.
But as far as the games go, I just have never been, even as a player, I didn't care. We come out of the game in the fifth inning, Mark, and for the Giants, you go, you do your training, you leave, and then you come back the next morning, you ask, did we win last night? Did we win yesterday?
Right.
Nobody knows. We get in the vans, we go back from wherever, Peoria, we're in the vans, we're going back to the ballpark in the fourth inning because we got two at-bats and we got out of there. It's games that count. Like right now in August and September, games that count. Football, week one, let's go. And it's fun. It's fun to get excited about the season that's approaching, but all the minutiae and the details of training camp, and I know it's some people's livelihoods, right, in the media, like they're Niners beat writers, their coach. I get it. I respect that. But just for me personally, give me week one, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
And no, get all this crap out of the way. Like, can I fast forward to week one?
Yeah, I wish. I mean, the problem with that is, first of all, there's such a thirst for it. And I'm with you. I'm not excited about Brock Purdy tearing it up in practice today because I'm not upset when he throws picks. I don't care. You know, I don't know what he's doing out there. I don't know if he's trying something. You know, that's like a pitcher getting torched in spring training. Whatever. Who knows what they're working on out there. So I'm with you as far as that's concerned. But there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. The thirst for this stuff is so off the charts.
Yes.
And August, as I said earlier, is always frustrating in the NFL because there's no payoff. This is a bunch of bad foreplay. That's all August is.
Yeah.
And all the only real news that you get out of August, the real hard news, is when someone gets hurt.
What's bad foreplay, though?
Foreplay that doesn't lead anywhere. when you just
and
leave.
Then you get traded.
Yeah.
Don't talk about that.
You think of big contracts there at the end, and then you get traded.
Like, bad foreplay is when the phone rings and somebody needs a ride or something like that. Yes. Like, it's like, oh, okay.
Gotta pick up the kids from school.
Everybody put your clothes back on. Bad foreplay. Anyway, yeah, that's August, and it stinks. And you get a J.J. McCarthy news piece, and you're like, oh, like, that's actual news. And I do get into, like, I like to read a lot about, okay, what are they saying and what are you seeing? You know, a rookie player who looks good, or this guy's struggling. You know, he's struggling to get up the depth chart or whatever. I read that. I'll get into that a little bit. But by the same token, it often does not turn into be a real thing. And so that's just August. And I promise you someday August won't be August anymore.
Getting bit by a shark or run over by an ocean liner?
Do you definitely die if you get run over by an ocean liner?
Those big bad boys that are in the bay that take up the whole horizon? Some days I'm on my jog in the Embarcadero and look at those ships. I'm like, I didn't know they made them that big.
Yeah, it feels like it would be awful, but would it just shove you down into the water?
No, it's crushing you, man.
Is it?
Yeah, I think I would go shark versus ocean liner.
Shark or someone forgets to turn off the speedboat. As you try to climb back in.
Oh, that's gruesome.
The propellers.
This is getting dark.
What is going on here?
This is getting awful. No, let's go.
Would you rather get attacked by a lion?
Let's go to...
Or bit by a shark.
Larry in Lafayette. Hi, Larry. What are you doing?
I got to follow that.
You do.
It's tough, man. This is hard-hitting radio.
I'd argue that's the best thing to follow. Like, we don't even know what we're talking about right now.
I'll try to do my best here. So I'm going to go back 2 years, and the Chiefs trade their number one wide receiver down to Miami. there was none of this garbage going on. They just made the trade. There was no talk about it. He wanted money. The cheetah is now in Miami. The 49ers have not handled this very well. I believe they have somewhat of a an arrogant coach, and he's awesome. He reminds me of Andy Reid before Pat Mahomes. And I just hope he can find somebody to manage the clock. Okay. he is. The other thing is that they're forgetting that Super Bowl teams who lose statistically have a horrible season the following year. The last time they lost in the Super Bowl, they had a tough time. Well, and everybody does except the Buffalo Bills in the 90s.
Well, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs lost a Super Bowl four seasons ago, and they've reacted with an AFC title game and two Super Bowl victories in the next 3 years. So, I'm not arguing with you, Larry. I know what the stats say. Sometimes I think that Super Bowl hangover is sort of miscast. It's actually just math. It's a lot of luck goes into making the Super Bowl. But if you're the best team and the Niners are one of the best teams and you stay healthy at the key positions, you're going to be there in the end. You're going to be one of four or five teams who have a shot at the end.
I would just argue they have harmed the culture, and that
you think?
Know, basically they've really got it. They've got an upside to go against. And if they had picked Pat Mahomes with the third pick in 2017, we would be reaping these benefits.
Well, sure, Larry, and it's a good call. But let me also say this: he compared this to Tyreek Hill and what the Chiefs did. They just sent him to the Dolphins, and it was quiet. Do you want to know why this was different? Tyreek Hill wanted the money; he didn't want to stay. He wanted the $30 million. That's what mattered to him. The reason Brandon Ayuk and the Niners have been so loud, I made this comparison the other day. It's exactly, for those of you who used to watch Friends, this is Ross and Rachel. There you go. Good job. It's actually, I learned one night, it's only four claps. It seems like five. It's only four.
Oh, my bad.
Up. Anyway, this is Ross and Rachel. Neither side has any interest in breaking up whatsoever, but they're all acting like they do, because they're mad or emotional or they want what they want. And we were on a break. I mean, all of that stuff. Brandon Ayuk and the Niners have been loud because they don't want to part. They want to stay together. But they're mad because their partner is not giving them what they want.
Is anybody hooking up with Joey?
I think that's Trent Williams.
Is this blasphemous? Liked Friends. Is that blasphemy?
No,
I have friends that watch Friends all the time on TBS and the reruns.
My kids still watch it. My kids watch it.
It's just,
they weren't even born yet when this thing went off the air.
I'm the king of corny humor, and it's just corny humor to me. I don't know. You like it? That's your show?
No, it's not my show. I watched it when it was original, when it was out, and now it's on in the background constantly because the kids are into it, but... No, I don't think that's blasphemous.
I think it's cool that Wilmer Flores learned English by watching Friends.
That is very cool.
And that's why it's his walk-up song. I think that's super cool. But as far, I'm not a Seinfeld guy either. I'm not a Friends guy. Not.
That's
I was playing
fine.
Baseball during those days at night when those games were on. Those shows were on at night.
You're too cool.
I was going 0-for-4 while those games were on. Shows were on. Game shows, whatever.
I mean, it's funny to talk to the kids, though, and explain to them what it was like when you had to wait for Thursday night to be able to watch those shows.
You can't just watch them all, binge-watch all the shows?
They were back-to-back at 8 and 8:30 on Thursday night. And it was that's it. You watched it, and then you waited a week.
I need a show right now. I'm struggling. I'm the guy that needs a
football.
I need a... Yeah, well, I
football.
Can't wait.
NFL.
Let's go.
Yeah, that'll be your show.
All right,
It's coming up real soon. We're sponsored by Express Employment Professionals. There's some more of you who want to weigh in on this, so stay right where you are. We're coming to you, Rich and Jose. You'll be first up. 888-957-9570. FP is in for Dibs. It's Dibs' birthday. Say happy birthday to Dibs. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Listen for it. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got into an argument. This is about 6 years ago. I got into an on-air argument with a listener.
About the claps?
Yeah. I'm like, it's five claps. It's like, it's four claps. I'm like, it's five claps. You're wrong.
No, it's
you're
four.
Wrong.
It's four.
It's four claps.
Wait.
Yeah, I think we're
the
past
claps don't come back up.
It's the first time. It's a one time deal.
All right, please hold.
Yeah, it's four. It's a four clap. Yeah,
it's
one,
four.
Two, three, four.
Yeah, it's four.
It's four. Yeah. I was wrong. I undressed someone on the air.
Oh.
I didn't. I was like, it's five, and I'm sure. He's like, it's four. You should listen to it.
Oh.
And I went home that night and listened to it, and I'm like, damn it.
Oh, no.
Take the L.
Take the L.
Take the L.
Walk of shame.
Yeah, because don't you think, like, if you just listen to it fast, it's... bup, 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 bup. No, it's four. It's four claps. Anyway, it's not like an eight clap.
Which, number four.
Which Lucas really hates.
They were all horsing around with each other on that show, right?
What do you mean?
On Friends.
Like, for real?
No, like during the show itself, like as part of the plot, right? There wasn't everybody dating everybody?
Oh, here and there, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Well, what? Like Ross, and Rachel were the show. Ross and Rachel were the thing.
Yeah.
And then and Monica and then Chandler ended up getting married.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then Lisa Kudrow's character, what's her name, Phoebe or whatever?
Yeah.
She, not really. She probably like just kissed each of them for whatever, but there was never a relationship there.
So I said they're horsing
and
around.
Then Joey just did everything that moved all the time. So, yeah, there you have it.
It's kind of like living in San Francisco. Right. Same
exactly.
Thing.
Sitting at a coffee house, hooking up with everyone. Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's go to Jose in Oakland. Hi, Jose. What are you doing?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Commuting home. First of all, happy birthday to Divi.
Yeah.
On my behalf and also on behalf of the Willie and Divi show. Okay, listen. I don't see this turning out well either way, whether they sign Brandon Ayuk or don't sign him. If they don't sign him, they're going to be losing a capable receiver. If they sign him, they're going to get stuck with a contract that they didn't want to get it stuck with. Plus, I don't think that Brandon is going to perform the way he would if he had the advantage of actually going through the whole training camp. The fact that TJ Husband-Salah mentioned Jed York last time you guys interviewed him, and he also mentioned feelings, leads me to think that something may have been said that offended Jed York. Okay, and the last time that he got offended by something that someone said, Jim Harbaugh ended up in Michigan. Okay, so who knows? Hopefully they can get him out of there. I think, like you said, I think that if John Lynch was the only one involved in this, they would have gotten done a long time ago. I don't even think that it's on Kyle. I think it's above his head.
John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are not the ones who are pounding numbers with agents. That's not what they do. That's Parag Marate, largely. Not by himself. But anyway, go ahead, Jose.
Yeah, I don't even think it's Parag. I think Jed York is the one that signs the check. And Parag might work the numbers and everything, but if Jed York is offended by something that was said, it's not going to happen.
Why do you think Jed York was offended? Like, TJ brought him up. He didn't even know who he was. Remember, he asked us. He goes, who's the owner? We're like, Jed York.
Because he mentioned feelings. And he would only mention feelings if Brandon Ayuk brought it up. So Brandon must have said something to TJ to the fact that, we kind of said this and Jed York cared about it. So now he's not that happy. So he's the one, like I said, he's the one that signs checks.
I know, but then again, but look at his track record, Jose. You know what I mean? Like, listen, and thanks, Jose. I don't know. I'm not in these negotiations, but look at Jed York's track record. Like, everybody brings up the one situation with DeForest Buckner where somebody didn't get paid a second contract when they're a good player. He's paid everybody. They are just rocking guarantee after guarantee after guarantee. All of these great players, and they've acquired big name, big contracts, McCaffrey, Trent Williams. I don't know. I got a hard time believing that all of a sudden Jed York is over there offended or pinching pennies or whatever.
Well, they probably got their formulas that rank Brandon Ayuk amongst the elite receivers. And they're like, he's here and he wants here. And it's not matching up with our formulas.
Yeah.
With what we're projecting him to be this year, how many catches, how many of this for the next however many years this contract is going to be for. So they have their data and their formula over here, and it's not jibing with what the agent and Brandon are doing. Then it got weird that it's like, you don't want to be a Niner? Get out of here. We'll trade you. We'll make it public. And then they came back to each other probably and said, let's do this.
I think all of these things are true, and I also think
I don't know anything.
That certain executives are carrying last year's loss to Nick Bosa with them into these negotiations. I think all of that. And then there's the part that none of us get to know, which I really think would change everyone's opinion. If the Niners were able to publicly just come out and be like, okay, you want us to go to $30 million for Brandon Ayuk? Okay, get a ticket and go say goodbye to Charvarius Ward and D'Amador Lenoir.
And Brock Purdy.
No, and Deebo Samuel.
And everyone. It's just going to be Brandon Ayuk on offense against 11 guys.
Don't you think people's opinions would be different if you could tie to this conversation who they'd lose if they do XYZ? If they do this contract, then it means that guy's gone. Wouldn't you change your mind, maybe?
Well, if we heard everything behind the scenes, we'd probably change our mind. And I'm sure it's just they're going to get it done. And I'm sick of talking about it.
I know you are.
Football, everybody. Yeah. Let's go. Figure it out. Kumbaya. Let's get a circle.
Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich.
Go for a swim.
What's cooking?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just getting off work. I want to first of all say, those are two of the worst possible outcomes a person can have in the water. And you're wondering why Mark is dead set against both of them. I'm with Mark. And it's like, dude, no. First of all, I'm going to die. Okay. And then I have to choose which one I'm going to die. Both of them are worse.
They're very bad. Okay.
Mark said death by propeller, for God's sakes. That, I mean, that was gruesome.
They're all the same. In
I
the
just
end.
Had a jumper landing on your back.
You're done. It's all the same.
Yeah, and then what made it worse, you're throwing a lion. I'm like, dude, what's going on here? That makes me dead.
Yeah, that was over the top. That was unnecessary.
I think they should let lions loose during the home run derby when people are shagging. That would be fun. I would watch. Just let a couple lions loose when those kids are out there running around.
Hey, but FP, you should be talking to Mark, because Mark's the one who knows about the story at San Mateo High School when they had a prep rally,
God.
And they let a 450-foot Bengal tiger into the auditorium,
really?
And the tiger mauls one of the kids in the front row.
No.
One of the football players. And
where was this?
This was at San Mateo High School.
Man.
My alma mater. This was in 1990.
Oh, my goodness.
This is No, not 1990. It was when my sister was a freshman, and she was class of 1990. So this would have been, 87?
Was the person all right? I mean, we're joking here.
No. His name was Craig Henderson. So this happened at the other station one night.
His new nickname is Lefty.
No. He's fine, and he owns a restaurant, runs a restaurant in the East Bay now. He ended up catching wind of the conversation, and 2 hours later, he's on the air with me. It was a memorable night. This came up. And the other guys are sitting there, and they're like, I sort of walked into it as if it was common knowledge that everyone remembered this happened. And everyone's like, wait, what? What the hell happened? And I brought it up, and then people started calling in and sending the videos of it. And 2 hours later, Craig Henderson, the fullback of the San Mateo Bearcats football team, and this was the prep rally for the season-ending game.
It was a season ending.
The day before the game, the fullback got mauled by a Bengal tiger who got brought on stage from Marine World.
In the gym.
In the auditorium. They brought a tiger out on stage, and it freaked out when the crowd started going crazy, and it jumped into the first few rows, which was the football team. And it mauled the fullback.
Was he hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, he was hurt. I don't remember if he played in the game or not, but obviously he went straight to the hospital. Like, he got mauled by a tiger.
Soft. Come on. I mean, tape it up.
The takeaway from everybody is, can you imagine? I mean, there's no better snapshot of how much has changed in the world
than that
from 1987 to 2024. Do you know how many people would be fired? Do you know how many lawsuits there would be if something like that happened in 2024? And before you answer, that would never happen in 2024.
What year was this?
1987.
And then just like the tiger got away from us.
1987? Yeah. 87, 86, one of those.
Just like to make a public apology.
No, there's a video of it. I'll find it and I'll send it to you later.
The tiger got away from us.
The guy brings the tiger out essentially on a leash. He's got the tiger trained, but the tiger flips out.
Forgot to feed him?
I mean, it's like you try to stop the tiger. I have a hard time stopping my shepherd if she sees a squirrel.
87.
Yeah. Jumped into the crowd. My sister was in the auditorium. She was in the upper deck. Because she was a freshman.
Were they playing Frank Stallone, Eye of the Tiger, while the tiger? Like, because that was right around 87, right? No. Rocky III?
Probably. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Is your mascot the Tigers?
No, it's the Bearcats.
Why did they have a tiger there then?
We're orange and black. That was our colors.
Should have brought a binturong on stage.
And what was your mascot?
Which is also known as a Bearcat.
Thank you.
A Bearcat.
Yes.
Wow.
And our rival Burlingame used to chant, "What is a Bearcat anyway?" That was like one of their chants.
And we're like, "We'll show you. We're going to bring a hungry tiger to the game."
That's right. And none of us knew until one night I saw on, like, remember when the late night talk shows used to bring animals on?
Yeah.
And they brought a Bearcat on. I'm like, "Oh my God, there's actually a Bearcat." And as Lucas just said, I think the official name is a binturong. It's also known as a Bearcat.
I got to look up what a Bearcat looks like.
Yeah, it's like mid-size. It's like black. And it looks kind of like, it's the
size. They're super cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. It's the size of a shepherd dog, probably.
The 80s were great. I miss the 80s.
Yeah, they were.
You know, the pep rallies
Have lunch and then have a tiger jump into your lap.
Guess what? We're having a live tiger at the pep rally tonight. No way. Did you hear about that? We're not texting each other because there's no cell phones.
Nope.
You get to draw directions on a piece of paper and go right at the stop sign, left at this, at there.
But true to form, this ended up being prophetic. It was on video, just like everything is now. They've got video of it. I'll find it for you.
I'm Googling right now. Yeah. You should have told ADD boy about this story.
It's going to take you a minute. You have to dive deep on the internet.
It's really not that hard. Yeah. San Mateo High School Tiger.
Yeah, but you have video?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm watching. All right. I feel really bad for the Tiger. He wakes up from whatever just happened, and the guy...
he got darted?
He's slapping him with a stick. It's like, come on, what's a tiger supposed to do?
They didn't bring him a dart gun?
You can't blame a tiger for being a tiger.
No, you can't.
I mean, I'm all for like not being cruel to animals, but don't you got to bring a dart gun to that show?
Nope.
Just in case he goes...
Just a fullback.
You know what never would have done that?
What?
A binturong.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
they just eat your throat out.
They're actually pretty fierce.
And fun fact about binturongs, I don't think I've ever told you this. They smell like popcorn.
Ooh.
Their fur smell like popcorn.
Would you rather get eaten by a tiger or a binturong?
Here we go. Fun fact, we're supposed to be off the air right now. Randy, what are you doing here?
We're
going to
hear
minutes?
Brandon Pajemski. He gets all back right. on track.
Can we play Eye of the Tiger? Can we go out to Eye of the Tiger?
No. I remember when Pods was on the show. That feels like 2 days ago. What's coming up on the game
is
brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. All right, here comes Grandy. You want to do this again tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it one more time.
Okay, let's do it.
Then never after that.
For FP, for Grandy, for Lucas, and for all the Binturong out there. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!